to John chapter 17. I just want to read the first five verses. John chapter 17. Beginning in verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. These are the words of Christ. And as such, they are not up for debate. No matter what anybody thinks from, who was that fellow, Aubrey Ballou from the Church of God? He was always wanting to debate Earl. He did. Well, and Earl, of course, took him, no. And I didn't know this because, see, I brought it up to Earl because I had talked to him. He had a talk show on the radio. And you could actually call in, and dummy me did. Okay. But I did actually, and this is the truth, Deb's a witness, I kind of painted him in a corner one day. Because we were talking back and forth, and he says, well, you sound like God saves people arbitrarily, which means without a reason, okay? And I said, did you deserve to be saved? Did you earn your salvation? Well, no. And I said, well, God must have been a little arbitrary. And he didn't have an answer for that. Right? And so next week I listened to him. He used the word arbitrary on the next guy.
Slick little
I had quit calling. Because it didn't do any good. I argued him into a corner. He had no defense. Didn't change a thing. Didn't help anything. But these words are not up for debate. These are the words of Christ. They are to be accepted, and they are to be believed. This is the prayer of Jesus Christ. I always liked when, I remember when Earl said that, this is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. John chapter 17. Yeah. You know, where it says, Our Father, he says, you pray that way. Right. Without using vain repetition. Mm-hmm. That's not the way most people do it. But anyhow, but this is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, to God the Father. Amen. Christ lifted up his eyes, and the first word he said was, Father. He said this because that's who he was talking to. These words are not directed at us. They're directed toward God. However, these words do concern us because some of them are about us. This is Christ's prayer to God about his people, and as such, we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things which have been written down for us, for believers. Because he'll go on and say, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. This is not Christ's prayer for the whole world. But this book, John, the Gospel according to John, which my little heading up here says St. John, which is okay. You don't have to call me St. Joe or anything, but it's okay. That's a funny thought, it is. It is. But this Gospel seems to deal more with Christ as the Son of God than any of the other Gospels. And it is special to me for for several reasons. I was talking with Walter on the phone. We were talking about this. When I started out, after I was into conversion, being converted, I didn't know anything about the Bible. You know, as most of you know, just about all you know, I was born and raised Catholic. Okay? Bible study is not an organized activity in the Catholic Church. Not even Catholic Sunday school. Okay? You know, you might have a piece of a verse, you know, Christ is the Lamb of God. Okay, draw a picture of a lamb, you know, when you're a kid or something, you know. Make macaroni pictures, you know. And as you go on, they get into weirder stuff, and they try to make it relevant. You know, they changed the organization. They came up with the I'm okay, you're okay. And I did have one priest tell me one time, he says, I never did like that. He says, I always thought I'm okay, but you're not. A little honesty anyway. But, you know, the only Sunday school lesson I can remember, because after, you know, when I hit ninth grade, I hit high school, my dad said, you don't have to go to Sunday school if you don't want. I said, okay. I didn't. But I remember one in eighth grade, or there was a Cat Stevens song out, and they played it, and it was Morning Has Broken, like the first morning, okay? That was a Sunday school lesson in a Catholic church. See? And they tried to relate it to the creation of the world and all that. That's the only part I remember because I like the song. Yeah. Anyhow, so when I first started, I set forth a task to myself to read the Bible because I didn't know anything about it. And since I wanted to know more about Christ, because that's what I was concerned with, I did start in the New Testament. Started with the book of Matthew. And I started reading, and it was, you know, this is over the course of a while. I don't really know how long. You know, I know at least a month or two, because I was doing some pretty dedicated, but it was just reading. It wasn't studying. It was reading. And I read in Matthew, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's good stuff. I read, enter in at the straight gate, because the broad way is bad. Narrow way leadeth unto life. So far, so good. That's good stuff. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's so far, so good. Get to Mark, Christ heals a leper. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I said, that's good, you know. Jesus answered, I will. Thou be clean. So far, so good. Who is my mother or brethren? Now, this was important to me because of the Catholic teaching toward Mary. Because they said, you know, Mary not only had a child as a virgin, she died as a virgin. And so here comes Christ's brothers showing up. I don't know whose kids they were. As far as we knew, you know, as far as Catholics knew, she didn't have no more. So I always wanted to look in the Catholic Bible. I haven't yet. I'll do it one day and see if that's in there. But it was adopted kids, I guess. But these people honor me with their lips. Their hearts are far from me. That's so far so good. John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb. That's good stuff. Get to the book of Luke. It says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That fellow saw Christ who's 8 days old. And he rejoiced and he could die. That's good stuff. They were astonished at his doctrine because his word was with power. That's so far so good. And unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others in parables, so they don't see and they don't understand. And I do remember reading that for the first time saying, that's not what I've been told. But it's in there, and I believed it. If they hear not, Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear one, though one rose from the dead. Yeah, I've been there, done that. I wouldn't hear nothing. Then we get to the book of John. And John starts with a bang. In the beginning, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I like that. And then you read, the darkness does not comprehend the light. Because where there's light, there is no darkness. Earl's question, where does the dark go when you turn on the light? It ain't there. It's not there. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, you know, you had to be born again. So far, so good. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So far, so good. Because I did love darkness at one time. And I had changed. And I did understand a bit of that anyway. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the part I did notice about that is, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There must be they that don't worship him. But it's true. Then comes John 6. And I read, no man can come to me. And I said, wait a minute. This is where I stopped. Swear to God. This is where I stopped. No man can come to me except it be given him of the Father. And I thought, well, wait a minute, that don't seem right. I did. Honest truth. And I pondered on this a while, and I read it again, and it was still there. And then I looked back and went back a little bit, and read it, it's still there. So I walked into the kitchen of a fellow's house, preacher's house, in McDowell County. And him and his wife were in there, and I said, and I took my Bible with me. I said, see, it's where it says that no man can come unto me except it be given him of the Father. And they said, uh-huh. That's fine. And I said, well, I believe, I know that God knows who's going to be saved. I mean, I understand. God knows everything. He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows everything. And they said, yeah. But that's not what he's talking about there. And then they told me it means what it says. It means what it says. And what does it say? I said, well, it says no man can come to me except it be given him of the Father. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. And that's what it means. And now these are the same people who got really happy that day I was miserable on the couch too. So I was beginning to wonder if this was going to be a trend. Okay? I just said, okay, and I went back to the other room. And I picked up my Bible, and I looked at it, and it was still there. And I didn't know what to do, really. Tim James, I was mulling, about half stupid and half thinking. And it just, and I do remember going through this. And I just say, well, I believe Christ, and I don't know what else to do. Because if it's in there, it's got to be right. And so I said, okay. Seriously, I said, okay, let's go on. So I read. And guess what? He said it again. In verse 65. No man can come unto me. And I said, whoa, you ain't catching me again. I already went through this once. And then I read, many disciples left Christ at that time and walked with him no more. And I had been to a place where that preacher, I went to his kitchen, I went to his son's church. And he preached on that verse without ever saying why they left. Right. A whole sermon. He's going to preach on 666. He preached on John 6, verse 66. That's what verse it is. And he preached that they walked no longer with him, but he never said why. Never backed up to read 65 at all. What is it? A text taken out of context is a pretext. And that's what that was. You making up stuff. But anyhow, but I read that again. I said, well, you know, you gonna catch me. And I guess, you know, and it hit me that he was serious about this. Christ was serious about this because, you know, he didn't just, you know, repeat it twice, you know, one verse right after the other. He goes on another paragraph and comes up at the end of it and says the same thing again, and they left. Many of his disciples walked no more with him. And then Peter said, he turned around and he looked at the disciples and said, and I'm serious about this. This was an accusatory tone or whatever. I don't know if you want to say sarcasm, whatever. Are you going too? Yeah. I mean, he didn't turn. I don't think he turned around and said, are you guys going to leave me too? Please don't. Okay? That's not the way he said it. He said, will you also go away? Because these people have. And he knew they would. This wasn't a surprise. Will you go away? And Peter said, no. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And man, I felt so good at that moment because I thought, Peter just said the same thing I did. Well, actually, I said the same thing Peter did because he did it first. I give him credit that way, okay? But it was, you know, hey, you know. You know, my point of view is mine, of course, you know. But I did. I felt good. I felt joyful. I felt happy at that moment. And I felt awe in the fact that this book could affect me that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the words in it. And I really, to be honest, I felt like I'd passed a test with an A. I made a 100. Because I didn't know any of that. And there it is. Now, because I actually had given the same answer to a dilemma, to a problem, than an apostle had given. That'd pump you up a little bit. I made up my mind, well, it was actually made up for me, that I would not forsake Christ or his teaching. I would take him at his word. And since then, by his grace, I have not abandoned him. And today, 26, 27 years later, that's still a good memory. It is for me. I didn't pray a prayer. I didn't kneel at an altar. But it's personal. It's very personal. I do remember thinking I would believe whatever the Bible had written in it, even when I don't quite understand it. Amen. And boy, that happened a lot, yeah. Even after that. Okay. But that's how I got into the book of John. Then you come to John 17, and Christ starts off stating that he is to be glorified. And in turn, he said he would glorify the Father, which he had been doing. And he states that he has been given power over all flesh. And I've been in a lot of other places where they have read this verse, but they never stop in this verse. And they never really get into it, because Christ has been given power over all flesh for a reason. And that reason is that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. First of all, Christ has power. Okay? He spoke, the winds and the seas obeyed, you know. He spoke Lazarus' name and he came out from the dead. This power that he has is over all flesh, which is why Earl said he didn't say come forth. He said Lazarus come forth, and didn't want everybody else coming out too. He has the power to give eternal life. Now, does this mean that eternal life is a gift? Yes, it does. It means that eternal life is a gift from God. Now, am I saying that Christ just gives eternal life to whomever he wants to for no reason? Yes and no. He gives it to whomever he wants, but whoever he wants to give it to are as many as the Father has given him.
Amen.
Even though he has power over all flesh, he doesn't give eternal life. He doesn't desire to give eternal life to all flesh. You don't have that statement anywhere in the scriptures because it's not true. God's purpose is bigger than your problems. He's got power over all flesh. If his purpose was to give eternal life to all flesh, they'd have it. Because when Jesus Christ gives you something, you have it. Oh, it's a gift. You have to receive it. No, if he gives you something, you're going to have it. And I try to emulate that at Christmas time. I give Deborah a gift, or I put it under the tree. It's got her name on it. And she'll say, "Oh, I want to open it now." I said, "Go ahead. It's yours." I didn't give it to her. It doesn't belong to me anymore. It's got her name on it. I've given it to her, whether she opens it or not. I mean, it's hers. Trust me, when Christ gives you life, he can't just give you life and set it right here on a shelf. And then you have to walk up and say, "I don't know." He gives you life. It's inside. You're going to have it. He has power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This eternal life is given to a certain number of people. And this is all in the first sentence spoken by Christ in his prayer to the Father. It's all in the first sentence, so it must be kind of important. The eternal life is given. It is a gift from Christ to his people. Some will say, and I've heard them say, that God gave him all that would come to him. Have you ever heard that? I know. Yes, because I've been there. God gave him all that would come to him. Well, that's sort of true also. But you also have to remember that Christ said, "No man can come." And he also said, "Ye will not come to me." So you can't come and you won't come. You will not. I'll use a contraction. You won't come. You can't come and you won't come except the Father gives it to you. And I'm going to bet right now, and we can collect in heaven if you want, that Father gives it to as many as he gave to Christ. As many as thou hast given me. That's who he gives it to. There are others who do say, "I believe that you come to Jesus Christ of your own free will." Okay, you don't have one. All right? Just get it. I mean, swear God, it's not worth arguing over anymore. You will not come to me. Now, that's not you want to, but you can't. You will not.
Right.
There is a can't. But this is where Christ said, "You will not come to me." And Walter, we talked about that the other day when Spurgeon's sermon, that free will a slave. Yeah. That's the whole thing. He's dealing with the will there. And if you go back to where it starts off in a flash in John chapter 1, it's not of the will of man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not of the will of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But born of God. I like that. Ye will not come. And then Paul, of course, reiterates this by quoting the Old Testament in Romans 3, verse 11, and he's getting it from Psalms 14. There is none that seeketh after God, because that's the next thing they'll tell you. Well, you know, God receives those that seek after him. Yes, he does. But there's none. Have a nice day. Smile, God loves you. It was the bumper sticker on the back of Noah's Ark. Smile, God loves you. I forget who I heard say that, but I did like that. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. That's what Moses and them were singing on the ark. Yeah. Unfortunately, the people in the water, they weren't singing. 8 souls. We won't go on to that. There's none that seeketh after God, but Christ has the power. He has the power over all flesh. What's that potter got? Power over the clay? To make unto one vessel unto honor,
right.
One vessel unto dishonor.
Right.
And where did these vessels come from? The same lump.
Same lump.
That's the power that Christ has.
Yeah.
He has power over all flesh to give eternal life, but it's plain he doesn't give it to all flesh. This is his purpose revealed by the fact of what he does.
Right.
He gives eternal life to as many as the Father has given to him. And that is the only people to whom he gives eternal life. If the Father gave them to Christ, they will receive as a gift eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is eternal life? This time stop. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to quit right here. And we'll do this next week. Because I don't want to scrimp on it. But I will say this. Eternal life is not just living forever,
right,
which is what a lot of people have a tendency to relate it to. I want to live forever. I want to die, not never. Okay. That's sort of, right along the lines of I'm a Jesus fan.
Yeah.
Or the cattle on 1,000 hills, they all belong to you. I don't really need any cows right now, but there's something else that'll do. Now, she was making fun of people begging God for stuff. And I do appreciate people making fun of people begging God for stuff. But we'll start there next week. Our Heavenly Father,